Hope you've had a good day. We had a good day at the nursing home. Had a good crowd today. Enjoyed, as always, being there with them. Many of you were able to be there, so it was a good day. We're going to talk a little bit about Paul's trials before Felix and Agrippa, but I want to talk about them in a little bit different way than at least we have ever that I've talked about them. So I want to talk about two ladies that are present. One is Drusilla, and the other is Bernice. Drusilla is Felix's wife, and Bernice is Agrippa's companion. And they are sisters. And they are granddaughters of Herod the Great. And we know only from these passages in the book of Acts do we know these two ladies. They have a third sister, but we do know about them from Josephus and Tertullus, church historians, and they have very sordid reputations. And it will play into Felix's response to Paul's discussion. Maybe when we see that in just a moment, in a different way, because as a young girl, probably 15 or 16, Drusilla is married to a king, and I can't remember his name, and I apologize, but I didn't make the note, but you don't know him. Well, he died a long time ago, and he wasn't from around here. And she was drawn away from him by Felix, who used a sorcerer, historians will tell us, to seduce her away. And so she marries Felix, but never, the church historians will tell us, that she never divorced her first husband, and he's still living. So at the point that Paul is talking to Felix, he is married to a woman who is married to another man, which is interesting. And adds to this because here is the second time that Paul has talked before Felix. It says in verse 24 of the 24th chapter of Acts. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke. And here's what Paul said. Speaks about faith in Christ. Is Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come? So, if you're married to another man's wife, judgment and self-control are probably not, they were probably not on the hit list. All right? But that's what Paul speaks about. All right? Felix. And to talk about judgment, which is a point, sometimes we don't, judgment is not one of the things we are overly excited about talking about as a general rule. Felix was afraid, Luke will record. Some of the translations say Felix trembled. That Felix trembled. He began to shake and said with an exclamation point in our translation, "That's enough for now." You know, I've listened about all this I need to listen to. This is all I want to hear about this discourse. You may leave, and when I find it convenient, I'll send for you. Now, it says that he hoped that Paul would pay him a bribe, and he talks to him many times. But you can imagine the conversation that Paul might have had and does not seem to be nearly as direct as John the Baptist, but it cost John the Baptist his head, didn't it? And so we have that same situation. But it's interesting, Drusilla married a Gentile who did not profess any belief in Judaism the first time. So that made her really an outcast to start with. Not to say that she then left to marry Felix, who then becomes governor and lives with him in Caesarea, which I've seen where the governor's palace was. It's a beautiful place. Got one of the most beautiful views in all the world. But that's who Drusilla is, and that's who Paul appears before. Now we come to Bernice and Agrippa. And Agrippa is Bernice's what? Brother. Her brother. So they're going to call King Agrippa to come in. And it's interesting that both these ladies seem to like pomp, but they are Herod's descendants. I mean, Herod was into big buildings and all of those things, and they come in, Luke will tell us, with pomp. But Bernice had been married before, and she left her husband and married her uncle. And he died, and she hangs out with her brother. And the scuttlebutt was, this was an unholy relationship. All right? This is an incestuous relationship between the two of them. And then she leaves him for a while and marries one of the Ptolemies in Egypt. And doesn't stay long. Doesn't like it. Leaves him and comes back to her brother. So they're not married, but their relationship seems to be more than just brother and sister, which makes this all the more interesting as we read about them now appearing before, Paul appearing before them. Because we go to chapter 25 and verse 13. This is after Festus has become governor. Felix is out, and we only hear some things of Drusilla and Bernice after this, historically, because after you kind of lose power, it's hard to hang on in the social circle, which I know they find very difficult. A few days later, King Agrippa and Bernice, see, it never says his wife, Bernice, it just says King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea to pay their respects to Festus. He's the new governor. So, a king under a new governor, what's he doing? He's coming to pay homage, right? To meet him, show respects, try to keep power, to be able to work. Since they were spending many days there, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. He said, there is a man here whom Felix left as a prisoner. Now, why did Felix leave him? They really can't find any charges but to do a favor for the Jews. All right? Because it's just, he's too politically a hot potato to let out. And has not sent him on to Rome because we really don't have a charge to send him. And so here's a guy that's been left and wanting him to pay a bribe. And so help me, because now Festus has, early on, Festus is in Jerusalem and they jump him in Jerusalem about Paul. Paul is still a hot issue even though years have gone by. I mean, Paul's been in Caesarea for a good while in imprisonment, okay? But he's still a hot topic for the Jews. And so, new governor, first thing they jump him with is Paul. And it's interesting, things aren't different today. I remember being, when I was a newly elected official, I got all kind of phone calls. I got phone calls from folks that had called everybody who'd already been there, and I was a new guy, so they called me to see if I could do something. And there was some, you know, all wide and varied things that you get caught by. But here's the new guy, so we got to bring up the old problem that didn't get resolved, and it's about Paul. And so he tells them, I'm only here for a couple days, I think 3 days. I'm going back to Caesarea. You come to Caesarea and, you know, make your charges there. Because they were wanting him to bring Paul back to Jerusalem because the plot was to kill him. All right? But Festus says, no, you come to Caesarea. When I went to Jerusalem, chief priests and elders of the Jews brought charges against him and asked him, this is what he's saying to Agrippa, and asked that he be condemned. I told him that it is not the Roman custom to hand over any man before he has faced his accusers and has had an opportunity to defend himself against their charges. When they came here with me, I did not delay the case, but convened the court the next day. Paul's hot topic. And ordered the man to be brought in. When his accusers got up to speak, they did not charge him with any of the crimes I had expected. Instead, they had some points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a dead man named Jesus who Paul claimed was alive. I was at a loss how to investigate such matters, so I asked if he would be willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial there on these charges. When Paul made his appeal to be held over for the emperor's decision, I ordered him be held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would like to hear the man myself. He replied, tomorrow you will hear him. The next day Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entered the audience room with the high-ranking officers and the leading men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man? The whole Jewish community has petitioned me about him in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. I found he had done nothing deserving of death, but because he made his appeal to the emperor, I decided to send him to Rome. But I have nothing definite to write to his majesty about him. Therefore, I have brought him before all of you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that as a result of this investigation, I may have something to write, for I think it is unreasonable to send a prisoner without specifying the charges against him. Yeah, that's a bind, isn't it? It's a pretty tough place to be. I'm sending him to you, sir. Why? Because he says the dead man is alive. You know, especially as a new ruler, not really what you're looking for. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews. Now, what bind is Agrippa in? He represents the Jews, right? So he's in a political bind. And especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jews all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee, and that is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I'm on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. At noon, O King, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by me in faith. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all Judea, and to the Gentiles also. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. This is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me, but I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, and that Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. I'm not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I'm saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Now, he got no choice on this answer, right? Because you got to remember who these people are and where they are. Do you think that in such a short time? All right. Then Agrippa said to Paul, and here's a verse, and we're going to kind of finish with this. Here's a verse that kind of has been of great dispute when we were talking. Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Do you think that you can persuade me? And kind of the original translations and early on was, don't think that in such a short time you can persuade me. You know, he is making the argument, I'm not persuaded by your argument. But this makes for great sermon material, which fits in, but may not be exactly. But it's the dispute for mine is greater than mine. And Paul replied, short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. So Paul makes this defense again before King Agrippa. And Agrippa is the grandson of Herod the Great, and he is hanging out with his sister, which is weird. I don't care whether you're Roman or what, that's really weird. And so Paul's messages would have been offensive to them. I mean, you know, not so much the message about Jesus, but certainly his messages about self-control and righteousness and judgment to come would have hit very close to home for Felix. And you know, it's interesting, though, and I want to talk about these two ladies because that's where we began. And I think it just adds the story because it's something I really didn't know. But the historians will tell us that Drusilla was much more attractive than Bernice was. Maybe that's why she's hanging out with her brother. Maybe it just started out as a prom date. I don't know, because she couldn't get anybody else. But so there was a lot of jealousy and hatred between these ladies. And I wonder how that worked when both of them were in positions of power. But even though being family, there would be some communion. So Paul, again, his message of righteousness and self-control would have been very difficult. But Paul doesn't shy away. It's interesting to note that before Festus, before this second time that we know of, and there seems to be many times that he appeared before him where he talks about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, he had made a defense because the charge was that he was upsetting everyone in Jerusalem. He was defiling the temple. And so he almost goes through systematically and refutes their claims that he had not, that he was ceremonially clean when he went to the temple, and that when they found him, he was not in a crowd, he was not causing a riot, he wasn't even speaking to a crowd, that there was no groups there, and so he systematically goes through, and they're unable to prove it, which is their great difficulty, but because of bribery and political pressure, he stays in prison, and it's God's plan for him to get to Rome. As we close, I think it's important for us to remember Paul's lesson that we're called to be righteous and self-control and the knowledge that there is a judgment coming, that all of us will give an accounting, and what a great thing to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus and to be washed, to be able to stand clean and to know that God has called us and we are to live lives that are holy. To be like God. But maybe you need to come tonight. Maybe you're not a Christian, not been washed in the blood of Jesus. Or maybe you are and you need our prayers. But if you do have a need, why don't you come while we stand and sing?